Hey now, what you're about to hear is a free preview of one of this week's episodes of The Dumb Zone. If you would like to hear this episode in full, along with the archive of all of our past episodes, please go to patreon.com/thedumbzone. It's only a hilariously priced $6.90 per month to subscribe. And I saw you post something when I was in France last week. I saw you start on a thread, which was exactly, I got a buddy who's a very small-time gambler, probably just a regular guy like Jake, is $20 a game. You'll put a few games a weekend, nothing big.
No.
And my buddy works for the NBA, too. You know.
Yeah.
And when the gambling stuff first, you know, all the advertising first started, he called me and he said, man, I love gambling. But if this was real prevalent, like when I was in college, I think that would have been a terrible, terrible thing. Like, his prediction was 5 years from now, we're going to have a massive problem on our hands with just gambling addiction and people who have run up their Discover card bills or whatever. And if it kind of seemed like you've started on a thread similar to that in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm not sure what really got me thinking about it more. I think it's just too much. I think what really got me off was the League Pass adding the ability to bet on the game while you're watching League Pass. Joe Pomplano posted this. I guess League Pass is going with this, where the odds are going to be inlaid. Now, I'm hoping that's an option and not a requirement, because some people just want to watch the game without having to constantly be inundated. But like, even on DirecTV, if you watch DirecTV and I think it's the Wizards feed, their feed has the scoreboard, but the scoreboard also has all of the gambling lines at the bottom. I think it was like that last year when I was there. So it's just, I think for me, it's just gotten a little bit too much. I think people want to gamble. That's cool. I think the problem is the sites themselves have become so predatory, and they're not really marketing themselves in an ethical fashion. Like, they're kind of selling this dream that you can win money, enjoy yourself, you know, become the GOAT, like the Tom Brady thing, where Tom Brady's like, you know, he's a GOAT, but he's not allowed to, but everyone else is. But they don't realize that, like, if you win money at these sites, you're going to get rate limited and bet limited very, very quickly. And so really their goal is, honestly, like, if you're an operator of one of these sites, the way they operate now, their goal is literally to have nothing but losing gamblers as customers. And so that's why you're seeing the inundation of ads, is because they're constantly running out of customers, because they're busting them all. Their customers are running out of money, so they need new customers. So what do? They sponsor a podcast, or they advertise more. And so I just think it's I think gambling's fine. If people want to gamble, that's cool. I just don't think you should be allowed to advertise it. I really don't. I don't think it needs to be advertised. Like, you can't advertise. You know, there's not a lot of like hard liquor advertisement. It was kind of curtailed for a while. Smoking, for instance, you know, I don't know, when's the last time you saw a Marlboro ad on TV? They just don't, you know, you don't see it, right? You certainly don't advertise crack cocaine, that's for sure either. Crack cocaine's illegal, gambling's illegal. But and I think the leagues have gotten to be too friendly with it. The part I really think about a lot is, think about your average young person who ends up having a problem gambling, which will end up happening, because when you're under the age of 25, your brain hasn't even fully formed yet, so you don't have the ability to assess risk. When I was under the age of 25, I wasn't like a successful gambler, I can promise you. I lost almost all my tree planting money at the horse race track when I was 19, after spending months and months tree planting, because I had a problem. I couldn't control myself. And so just think about these kids as they get older now. Do you think they're going to still want to watch basketball after they've lost like their college savings, or they've gone into debt? So those are fans that you're losing. The other thing I would just think about a little bit is, like, people that go to the horse race track, they're not there to watch the horses run. The horses are like just a byproduct of the gambling. And I think that's kind of the way the NBA is marketing themselves right now. Is that really how you want to market your game? As you know, they're kind of in bed with these gambling companies, and what's going to end up happening is the sport itself will become incidental to the point spread, and that just doesn't seem like a good idea from my perspective. So yeah, it's a gross industry, really, when you think about it. Like, at least with finance, you know, with the exception of the GameStop thing, they let you win. Yeah, like you can run up, as bad as it is being like an options guy or crypto guy or whatever, like, The game isn't rigged against you in the sense that if you have an edge and you can win, you're allowed to win. Whereas in sports, if you have an edge and you're able to win, they'll just kick you out, and then you have to find some kind of like workaround to be able to find a degenerate to place your bets for you so that that person can win for you, and so they're not suspicious of the fact that a winner is winning. So yeah, it's just a gross industry, and the fact that the NBA is so comfortable with it to me is just kind of disgusting in some ways. So my point is that they just didn't know what they were getting themselves into. And I actually said, like, you guys are, even to this Evan Wash a couple of years prior to that, who was maybe still at the league, maybe isn't, I don't remember, but I was like, you guys can't be taking a percentage of, because that was their first model, was they were going to charge the teams, the casinos, a percentage of revenue. It's like, you can't do that, because then you're incentivized to randomize the game. So the sports books and the casinos are making more money. So it's like, what are you? Are you a pure sport or are you entertainment? Like, figure out which avenue you want to go under. But if you want to be a sport, you can't be in bed with these gambling companies taking a percentage of the money they're making, which is what they wanted to do. And then they switched to a model of advertising model instead, and a licensing model. But it's all nonsense. It's all just, this is too much. We don't need to watch NBA games and know what the points are. Imagine you just have kids and you want to watch an NBA game. He's asking you like, what? Why is it say, what's minus?
Yeah, what's
seven?
That? Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I grew up like that. It's not for everybody. Like, I grew up with a dad who gambled and taught me about gambling. It's not for everybody. It doesn't work for everybody, I promise you.
The government's probably going to get involved at some point. Whether that...
Yeah. Then it'll be fixed.
Yeah. But, you know, like Bob pointed out with, like, cigarettes. I mean, they can... The FTC and those sorts of subcommittees, they can do something about it. I think I've heard you talk about this before, but I think the philosophical idea behind we're going to, quote, legitimize gambling was that now it's not in the back alley, it's not shady, you're not going to have somebody come break your kneecaps. We're going to do this all out in the open, that'll eliminate point shaving, without considering all the other societal factors that you mentioned. But I do wonder, how many times have you felt like you were in real danger?
Danger?
Yeah.
When I before I became partners with that guy in Montreal, I thought I was in danger because I was bearding into him. I was betting into him. And then we beat him for a lot of money. And then, but I wasn't betting myself. Another restaurant owner that I knew was making the bets. And he's like, I have a really big account. I can win money. I used to go to this restaurant all the time in Montreal, and I became friendly with the guy who owned it. And so he basically, we started betting this other bookmaker in Montreal, this like real big bookmaker. And you can actually, he paid the larger, this guy, you can Google him. His name was Dario Zanetti, but he paid the largest fine in all of Canadian like criminal history. So anyways, we beat this guy out of a lot of money. And then, but we did it in kind of like a weird way where it wasn't me, it was the other guy, but it was really my bets. So I was like bearding into mm-hmm. this guy. And so I felt like I was in danger then, because one day these two dudes show up at my office door. I had an office in Mohawk territory in Canada, in Kahnawake. And these two dudes showed up at my door and they're like, hey, we need to talk to you about something. You're Bob, right? And I was like, yeah. And then they're like, we need to talk to you. I was like, yeah, I don't know who you are, but I don't need to talk to you. And I just basically closed the door on them. I didn't know who these guys were. They kept on showing up. And so finally one day they saw me, I was at outside my actual apartment in Montreal, and a car door opened and they're like, hey, like, we need to talk to you. Like, don't be scared. It's not a problem. It was also right around the time The Sopranos was out on TV. So, and they were Italian. And so, so I was scared there, and I had to go meet this guy at his restaurant, his family restaurant. And I didn't know what was going to happen, but they were like, you don't really have a choice to come with us, but you know, you're going to be fine, but like, you have to get in the car. So I was like, okay, I don't know what's happening.
Damn.
And so that was the only time, that's like the one and only time anything like that's ever happened to me. That's literally the only time that's ever happened. And then I met the guy and he was like the nicest guy ever. He was so like, he was delightful. To the point where I was like such an arrogant asshole back then that I would like bully this guy on the phone. Like I would yell at him on the phone if he got the number wrong. Like if I told him I wanted to bet +7.5 and he turned in like some +7, I would just like be like, what the I told you +7.5. You're eating the 7.5. I'd hang up the phone and my friends that worked, the guys that worked for me, was like, yo, like what are you doing? Like you can't talk to him that way. But I was such an idiot back then when it came to that stuff. But he was so nice. We won so much money together and he was great. Then his wife made him quit at some point because he was gambling on other stuff that wasn't my stuff and it was impacting his, you know, he still couldn't find a way to win, I guess. I'm not sure what happened, but somehow we stopped doing business together. But that was the one and only time I ever felt at risk ever.
So the only time you ever felt at risk, ironically, was because you were winning too much.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. The Dunzo.